God. Hope everything's going beautiful with you. I hope that everything is going beautiful with yours. Today, real briefly, we're going to talk about it's either love or it's hate. You say, where's the gray line there? Well, there shouldn't be a gray line. You got to come to a point in your life where you're either hot or cold. No in-betweens for situations. You got to be for something. You got to be against something. You got to be pro it or you got to be anti it. You got to believe in it or you got to be a non-believer. Walking the line does not get you anywhere. You're on the line, you're teetering on both sides. You're never going to accomplish what you need to accomplish. You're better off being wrong on one side or right on the other. But playing the middle is playing it safe. You play safe, you don't really get anywhere. This goes for anything. This goes for religion. This goes for relationships. This goes for finances. This goes for education. This goes for viewpoints. You can't play the middle. Too many people are afraid and they play the middle. And they really don't accomplish anything. They don't get their point across. It really makes no sense. I'd rather hate something because hate is all right if it's directed in the right manner. And I'd rather love something because love is always the best way if you can possibly do something. But don't give me no warm tea. Don't give me no warm cup of coffee. Don't give me no warm water. Give that thing to me hot or give it to me cold so that I can enjoy it one way or the other. And if more of us was to take a hard line stance on some things that deal with reality, like racism, abortion, child care, crime, helping other human beings, then we would be in a better situation. So either learn to love it or learn to hate it, because one way or the other, one of them is damaging you and one of them will edify you. You just got to figure out which one it is, okay? So Hamas and Israel, Thursday, their temporary truce ceasefire just crumbled. It went away. So now we still got hostages on that side. There's still hostages on the other side. Nobody's actually convincing Netanyahu to do anything one way or the other than dropping bombs. Something has to be done over there before this thing escalates to the point where American kids are dying. Because it always ends up with American kids dying when it has something to do with the Middle East. Now the problem, one of the problems is there's been a lot of anti-Semitic protesting. Now, a lot of this is unjustified. You can't blame the Jewish man or lady who lives on your block, who's not a member of politics in Israel. Why would you harm them? Why would you want to destroy their business? They're allowed to feel the way they feel, just as you are allowed to feel the way you feel. That's what America's based on. We don't lock people up or kill them so far. If it has happened, it's happening clandestine. We don't lock people up or kill them or destroy their business because they have a viewpoint. You're supposed to have freedom of speech, freedom of thought. But you don't have freedom to destroy. You don't have freedom to harm. You don't have freedom to injure. And you have to be very careful about your hate speech online, on social media, at your job, because it could cost you in the long run. Watch yourself. Be careful. You can protest, but there's a way to go about doing everything in a smart manner. Be smart about this situation. So we got a little situation going on. Guyana and Venezuela are having a beef, so we have to send some defense officials over there to try to map this out. Guyana came into a lot of oil recently. I mean, the most oil that any country has discovered in almost 30 years. So Venezuela wants to go over there and, you know, they're a bigger country. They're probably more military equipped. They want to go over there and strong arm these people out of their oil. I call bullshit on that. Something has to be done. this is a time where we need to be big brother, step in there. I'm 100% behind Guyana in this situation, or Ghana. No, Guyana. It's Guyana. G-U-Y-A-N-A. So I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly. And you know what? Venezuela has to be put in their place. It's not like they are running the greatest country known to man, and they don't have the right. Suppose somebody wants to bully them. You know, Brazil is getting involved, and if they're being sneaky and getting involved, we need to put our boots on their neck, then that's what we need to do. So we lost some people this week. Bishop, and that's quote-unquote, Bishop Carlton Pearson died at the age of 70. This dude was labeled a heretic at the end of his life, or towards the end of his life. He has some very controversial teachings in the church. I know he's a big-time Oral Roberts graduate, TBN, and stuff like that. But he came up with this theory that there was no hell. He was actually preaching anti-Bible. He would have been better off starting his own thing and leave it out of Christianity and say that he just came to this awareness. Now, did he have anything to back up his beliefs? I do not know, and I do not care. I was actually very cold to Bishop Pearson because I didn't think that this was right, what he was doing. I didn't think that he was guiding people in the right manner. I think he was leading them down a road straight to hell by giving them a free pass that anything that you do on this earth, no matter what, you're still going to be blessed. And I think that's a foolish way of thinking. I think that's a foolish way of teaching. We also lost Henry Kissinger. You know him. He was an American diplomat for many years. He was a Nobel Peace Prize winner. Isn't that ironic? This dude was a Nobel Peace Prize winner. He died at the age of 100. He was involved in a lot of shenanigans. I'm not saying rest in peace to this man. I am just passing on the information that he has passed away. Henry Kissinger did a lot of harm to a lot of countries in this world, as he was a man of great power. And he used that power and influence sometimes to help America and other times just to crush other people. And for that, I say shame on him. Frances Sternhagen, she's a Tony winning actress. You know her from Cheer. She was Norm's mother. She was on ER. She was on Sex and the City. She was one of those guys that was dating one of those four chicks' mother. And she was also on The Closer with Kedra Sedgwick. She played her mother. Well, she was an older woman. She was 93 years old. So she got to play a lot of iconic mothers on different TV shows. And Sandra Day O'Connor, the first woman of the United States Supreme Court, she died at the age of 93. I can't say much about Miss O'Connor other than the fact that she was a trailblazer. She gave a lot of young women a glass ceiling that she had broke and said, you also can become a Supreme Court justice. This was something that was unheard of. Sure, she was a conservative, but she still also fought. You know, she was a weird conservative. She knew right from wrong, or at least it seemed like she voted right from wrong. So I don't have a lot of bad to say about her. I say rest in peace to Miss O'Connor. Now, we've had two different occasions. Las Vegas, five homeless people were shot and one died. And in L.A., three were murdered by this Jared Joseph Powell. To take actions, violent, ending actions against those who have the least in society is the cowardest thing that you could do. Jared Joseph Powell, for him to kill three people who are already down on their luck, don't know if they've been talked to, don't know if anybody's fed them. You don't know if they had been recently even bathed. I mean, life is already kicking them in the ass, and you got to end their life in pure horror by shooting them dead. You know what, man? Whatever the law could do to Mr. Powell, I wish they'd do it. Throw the whole entire book at him, because this is a hate crime and enough just hate shit, you know? So George Santos, people, you know I watched Thursday. And then you know I watch Friday. Well, Thursday was all we're going to vote on it. Friday was the historic vote. And as you know, he had been bragging, I'm not going to resign. So the ethics committee brought him up for expulsion. And during this expulsion vote, I was in total shock. 311 to 114 voted him out. That's 206 Democrats and 105 Republicans. Now, 114 did not vote for him. Those are soulless Republicans who just told the party line, everybody know that this man did wrong. Everybody knows. He stole from whoever he could, and the House Ethics Committee said there was enough evidence to get him out. I am happy that 114 Republicans, at least for one day in their lives, put right above party. And so now George Santos is a regular citizen. I'm sure that he will become a dude that's going to try to go here, there, and everywhere and get his point across. I never believe anything this man ever says about anything. I barely believe that his name is George Santos. And I thought that was kind of a funny moment when this dude, I'm so sorry, I can't remember his name. He said, George Santos or whoever you are. And this was one of the guys testified, Matt Gaetz. It was Matt Gaetz. Matt Gaetz said, George Santos or whoever you are. Could you imagine a fellow congressman saying whoever you are or whoever you may be? That was insane, man. But this dude had to go. I mean, is he the only one guilty of ethics violations? No, you know it, he's not, and I know he's not, but he was blazing. He was right in people's faces with it. He didn't care at all. Now he has to go on and deal with 23 criminal charges, and that might lead him to prison. Now, I'm not going to share my thoughts about how I thought this is going to end, but I did tell my wife how I believe this is going to end. I believe that George Santos will never do a day in jail. So let me backtrack on that. I'm going to tell you, I don't believe George Santos will ever do a day in jail. I believe that George Santos will take some pills and he will end his life if he's convicted of any crimes that he has to serve time in prison. He's not built for it. He's not trying to be built for that. He is not going to do it. So Donald Trump, this dude loses more than almost anybody on the planet. A judge rejected his immunity claim in the federal 2020 election case. He thought that he was immune. He gets this presidential immunity to do as he pleases and to whom he pleases for however long he lives because he was once president. Somebody told him that being voted president was being voted emperor, and they lied to this man. He didn't take the time, the energy, or the effort to read the Constitution and find out that a president has certain powers and that a president has certain powers that do not exist but only in your mind. So now he could be actually sued by the victims of the 2020 January 6th upheaval. Because if they find him at fault. So this is another case that he's going to have to eventually go to trial and face other people with lawsuits against him. This inmate in Arizona, John Tersak, stabbed Derek Chauvin 22 times, and he has now been charged with attempted murder. Now, am I going to pat Mr. Tersak on the back? No. Excuse me, he did what he had to do. He felt pushed in the situation. He felt like he was going to end Derek Chauvin, and he didn't do a good job. 22 times is more than enough time to kill somebody if you stabbed them in the right places. I mean, we have small veins. We have all kinds of things that can bleed and cause internal damage. You can never be the same again. Now, do I know what condition Derek Chauvin is in? No. Do I know if he has a colostomy bag today? Did I know if he lost an eye? If he lost the ability to speak because he got stabbed in the throat? No. Do I root for things like this to happen to people? No, I do not. I'm not that guy. If you want, just because he's black and George Floyd was black and Derek Chauvin is white, and you think that that's how I should come at this, you're wrong. I always see a human. He got sentenced. He's supposed to serve his time. Serve your time, suffer, let the ghost of George Floyd visit you nightly, let your conscience play on you, and then you live that way. But you know what? I'm not going to wish him a speedy recovery, but I'm not going to wish him any further damage either. He did this to himself. He did this to him, his family, and he has to go through whatever he has to go through, because he is not the only one who's going to be stabbed behind bars. He's not going to be the only one hit with a waiting behind bars. He's not going to be the only one choked out behind bars, or the only one who's going to get into a physical altercation behind bars. That's what that place is built for. It's not only a place of rehabilitation, which is the most false thing I possibly can say. It's a place of punishment. I watch some TV. I watch Dark Side of Comedy. And believe it or not, Family Matters was an episode of Dark Side of Comedy. I thought it was a very good episode. It's hard for me to explain some of the things that were going on behind the scenes at Family Matter, but it's worth watching. It's only 42 minutes out of your life, and I really don't want to give anything away. You should take a peek at it yourself. I finished up the episode with Tracy Morgan on Dark Side of Comedy. I feel bad for Tracy in a lot of ways. I feel bad that he felt that the more popular he became, the more of a clown he had to be for the people. You know what? Sometimes success and money, sometimes you have to say no to doing certain things. And you know what? Accept me or reject me. Love me or hate me. It's fine. Love me or hate me. And I'm going to move on, because I'm self-assured in myself enough that I don't need your confirmation to move on in this life. I finished up The Blacklist. Was I 100% happy with the way The Blacklist ended? No, I was not. I thought Red Reddington deserved a more dignified death than the one that he received. But was it a good last three episodes? Yes. Was this Senator Hudson way above his pay scale and too intelligent to be even in Red's class? Yes, he was. Was he out there supposed to be playing FBI agent? No. That's why these shows go off the air, because the writing becomes sloppy, it becomes convoluted, it becomes silly to some points. And I thought The Blacklist, after 10 years, the fans deserve better and the writers deserve to do better. I was going to review Drake's For All the Dogs Scary Hour edition CD that came out a couple of weeks ago. But I have to say, at this point in time, with the things that are going on in my mind and how I'm feeling about certain subjects, I don't give a rat's ass if Drake's album is a classic or if it's a dud. So I'm going to stand on that. I made it through the first song. It was something like Virginia Beach. It was all right, but I don't care what Drake has to say about anything at this particular point, so I'm going to pass. Scottie Scheffler won the Heroes World Championship. He shot 20 under. It was only 20 players in this tournament. Tiger Woods was in this tournament. Tiger Woods finished even for the week, and he also finished in 18th place out of 20. Tiger looked like he was struggling a bit to me on day one. By day three, he was definitely noticeably struggling. Tiger is playing off of sheer talent, him being a phenomenon, and the fact that he has the upper body strength to get that ball distances that amateurs could only dream, because he has no hip movement. He does not have the need to dig into the ground and make those cuts with his body and those curves with his back anymore. I believe that he's going to struggle for the rest of his playing career. But as I stated before, I'm thinking that Tiger's really only going to be at the Masters. He's going to be at Hero because that's his tournament. He's going to be at Genesis because that's his biggest sponsor. He's only going to play four or five tournaments a year, maybe the U.S. Open, the British Open, and the Open Championship. The majors, and maybe two other tournaments that benefit him and his people. And other than that, I believe he's going to leave. He's going to leave the rest of the tournaments alone. That's what I mean by leave. So there's stuff out there saying that John Rahm has been offered $600 million to play with LIV Golf. Now, I am not John Rahm, and $600 million can make a lot of people do a lot of things. I do not see how you change, you turn down this. This is not life-changing. This is generational money. This is money that will change your whole family for generations to come. You add that with what he's made, and you're talking about a guy almost being a billionaire. When that was a word that was so uncommon when we were young, now every other 15 celebrities now a billionaire in basketball, in baseball, in rap, in acting. The good that John Rahm could do if he has a good heart with that kind of money could probably wash away some of the bad being linked up with Live with Cause. First of all, he's not an American citizen, so he doesn't really fall under the 9/11 situation, and especially since so many people are already in bed with the Saudis. I mean, you got to think about it. WWE, UFC, if the NBA could get a championship tournament, one-week tournament in Saudi Arabia, Dubai, I bet you they would do it for the right amount of money. I bet you the NFL, if they could have four football games over there, they would do it. Not a lot of people turn down this massive amount. It seemed like endless money that the Saudis have. So, you know, but John Rahm has a lot to think about. He did win the Masters last year, so he has that in his pocket. He could always come back and play in that tournament if that's the only one he's going to do per year. And we'll see. We had a UFC card this week. Armand Tashashian defeated Benel Dariush in the first round. Punches by knockout. Man, Dariush is looking at the front door. This is his second consecutive outing where he was TKO'd in the first round. Charles Oliveira knocked him out at UFC 289. I don't know, man. I always liked Dariush. I thought he was a cool guy. I like his demeanor. It's like a business and art to him. I respect how he respects MMA. But sometimes our time is done, and before he gets his brain scrambled, he needs to think about maybe getting out. Jalen Turner defeated Bobby Green by knockout punches in the first round. This referee in this fight was almost criminal. Bobby Green was laid out, knocked out, and Jalen Turner, who I cannot blame because he's in the hurt business, continued to punch this man who could not defend himself in any smart manner. And the ref took way too long. I say Bobby took at least 6 to 10 blows that he unnecessarily did not have to take. Davison Figueiredo defeated Robert Font by unanimous decision. Sean Bradley defeated Kevin Gastelum, who actually looked physically very good. Physically, he usually carries around a lot of body fat, but he actually looked like he was in shape. But he lost by submission due to a Kimura. Joaquim Silva defeated Clay Guida by unanimous decision. You know Clay Guida is always going to bring the funk every time he steps in the ring. Miesha Tate defeated Julia Alva by submission, rear naked choke. I was surprised to see Miesha look in such good shape, but she did what she had to do. Cody Brundage defeated Zach Reese with a slam. He knocked Mr. Reese out with a slam in the first round. And in a crazy thing, the fight right before that, Dracar Close defeated Joe Solinke also by a slam in the first round. I cannot remember seeing two fighters both lose to slams and get knocked out on the same card. Rodolfo Bellatura defeated Ihar Palatibrov by TKO in the second round by punches. Jaden Gordon defeated Wellington Therma via submission rear naked choke in the second round. Victoria Hardy defeated Jamie Lynn Hurt. Now, Victoria Hardy is Dan Hardy's wife. She defeated Jamie Lynn Hurt via split decision. There was a lot of knockouts, a lot of first-round knockouts on this card. This was a hot card from Texas. If you like the UFC and you want to go back and check this out, I would say this is definitely one of those cards you could do. This is one of the better cards without all the super high names that you would have seen on the UFC in quite a while. Now, there's another UFC coming up. This one was supposed to be from Singapore. For some reason, it's been moved to the Apex Center. And you got Yudong Song is going up against Chris Gutierrez. You got Andre Muniz going up against Jongyo Park. You got Carlos Hernandez taking on Tesoro Terreira. You got Sung Hung Park taking on Shannon Ross. You got Stephanie Egger taking on Luna Santos. So that should be an interesting card. There's not a lot of fights. Like I said, it's from the Apex Center, so it's going to be on ESPN Plus. And the prelims are also going to be on ESPN Plus. Now, your final four for the NCAA Football Championship is number one versus number four, Alabama. They're going to play in the Rose Bowl. That's on January 1st. You got number two, Washington versus number three, Texas. That's the Sugar Bowl. And that's also going to be on January 1st. Both those games are going to be on ESPN. And the national championship game is going to be Monday, January 8th on ESPN. Florida State got screwed here, people. Florida State was 13-0. I don't care that Alabama won the SEC championship. They should not be number four. There is no way Florida State is just the fifth best team in the nation coming out the ACC and undefeated. You have a 13-0 team that is sitting outside looking in at four other teams. It makes no sense. But the NCAA and ESPN push for this. ESPN pushes Alabama from the start of every season to the end of every season. So it's almost like they got an inside track with them. And I think it's disgusting. I think it's disgusting how we in this country, with the history and the blood and the soil of Alabama, go out of our way to make Alabama as though it's America's sweetheart. And there's got to be a lot of black people like me who don't like Alabama at all. I don't want to go to the state of Alabama. I don't want anything to do with Alabama. If I had a son who was a number one recruit, that'd be the one school I would not want him to play for in the nation. Then it would be Mississippi. But it damn sure would be number one would be Alabama. So we have a really weird weekend with Mark Cuban. He steps down from Shark Tank. Now we're finding out that Mark Cuban wants to sell a big piece of his Dallas Mavericks basketball team. I'm not understanding. I thought this dude was loaded. I thought, you know, his claim to fame is being Shark Tank and the owner of an NBA team where he's always front and center. You got to give him credit for that. The dude is always on point. He goes to the games like he has nothing else to do. So, you know what? I hope that everything is going good with Mark Cuban. There's no reason to dislike Mark Cuban. There's no real reason to like him, but there's no real reason to dislike him or wish him harm. And I'm hoping that his health is good, that his family situation is good, and that his finances are in order, and that he's doing what he has to do to survive. So the NBA's in-season tournament knockout round kicks off tonight. You got the number three Boston Celtics taking on the Indiana Pacers. That's tonight. And also tonight, you got the New Orleans Pelicans taking on the Sacramento Kings. Tomorrow, you got the New York Knicks taking on the number one seeded Milwaukee Bucks. And also tomorrow, you have the Phoenix Suns taking on the, believe it or not, the number one seed Los Angeles Lakers. Now, they're going to have these as a single elimination, and the final is going to be on December 7th. This is going to be in Las Vegas. So you got today, tomorrow, then Wednesday, you're going to have the semis, and then on the 7th, you're going to actually have the finals. And for some reason, these games are being held in Las Vegas. I really have not been keeping up with this in-season tournament. I think it's a weird thing to have a champion in-season and then a real champion at the end of the season. I think it's unnecessary to have a tournament. The whole season's a tournament. Let's keep it at that. But we'll see how this goes. The running back for the Indianapolis Colts, Jonathan Taylor, needs thumb surgery, and he's going to miss multiple weeks. The Vikings activated wide receiver Justin Jefferson. He's been out on the IR with a hamstring injury. The Jets stated that Aaron Rodgers' 21-day practice window has begun. I'll get back to Aaron Rodgers a little bit later, and I'll get back to Justin Taylor a little later. Pro Bowl wide receiver and champion DeSean Jackson is officially retired, and he did it as an Eagle after 15 years in the league. This dude was a home run hitter for the last 5 or 6 years of his career. He would come in, get one bomb, and you wouldn't see him again to the next game, and then he might get a bomb in that game. And he was often hurt because he's a little guy, but DeSean Jackson was a beast to guard. His numbers are probably pretty gaudy. And you know what? Good for him. The Seattle Seahawks and the Philadelphia Eagles made history when their game was actually the first game in Monday Night Football to be flexed. They're going to be replacing the Kansas City Chiefs at New England Patriot game. So the Kansas City Chiefs at New England Patriots game has now been replaced by the Philadelphia Eagles at Seattle Seahawks. Von Miller turned himself in after arrest warrant was issued for the alleged assault on his pregnant girlfriend. This is just such a bad look for Von. I mean, he's an elder statesman in this league. He's a Super Bowl, 2-time Super Bowl champ. He's getting paid a boatload of money for the Buffalo Bills to do literally nothing. He's one of those guys who's known to be charitable with his Eye Foundation and things of that nature. And you know what? This is not the way to end a career. It really isn't. You know what? You want to stay out of the tabloid section of the paper if you can. The Cardinals waived tight end Zach Ertz. I thought he was doing pretty good in Arizona, but they got this kid McBride, so they really didn't need him. I don't know where Ernst is going to end up. He probably is going to end up on somebody who needs a tight end heading into the playoffs, but we shall see. Now, to recap of the football games for last week, Dak Prescott, who's been on fire, threw for another 3 touchdowns, and the 9-3 Cowboys extended their home win streak to 14 games with a 41-35 win over the 6-6 Seahawks. Geno Smith played outstanding. He threw for 3 touchdown passes to DK Metcalf. CeeDee Lamb had 1 touchdown, but he finished with 12 catches and 116 yards. James Conner rushed for 105 yards, 2 touchdowns against his former team. Kenny Pinkett got hurt, and the 3-10 Cardinals beat the 7-5 Steelers 24-10. Kyler Murray has now improved to 2-2 since returning from a torn ACL in his right knee. Pittsburgh Steelers, I know the game was rainy and it was delays and stuff of that nature. They had no business losing to this team. But you know what? Mike Tomlin calling his own team JV, I thought was Bush League. He has become one of those dudes when they win, it's us. And then when he loses, it's them. And a coach should never do that. It's always supposed to be just us. It can't be that. It can't. You point your finger at the team when they mess up and you have no part to do in it. I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers offense is abysmal. With Kenny Pickett, without Kenny Pickett, it doesn't make a difference who's behind center since Roethlisberger's been gone. And maybe even Roethlisberger's last year, so they wasn't that good. Desmond Ridder led the 6-6 Falcons to an ugly victory over the 4-8 Jets. At the final score of this game was 13-8. Both of these teams, I thought I thought Atlanta played down to the Jets level, which they shouldn't have. The Jets offense is one of the worst in the entire league. They are bored to watch. They've been played. They've been led astray. They've been suckered by Aaron Rodgers, who lied to this team and told them that he would return. He never had an intention to return. He knew the Jets would be out of playoff contention, so he would never have to live up to his words. And he can now sit back and act like he's been miraculously healed when obviously he did not have the injury that he stated he had from the get-go. But the Jets, lock, stock, and barrel. Bad offensive coordinator. They bring over Cobb, who's been nothing. Lazar, who's been nothing. Hackett, it should not even be in the league. Robert Saleh is a horrible coach with almost double the amount of losses to wins. He has to have something like a 32% winning percentage. But Jets fans accept anything because they've clown organization, they have a clown fan base, and they're being clowned by an out-of-towner. Aaron Rodgers has done nothing for this team but took 4 snaps and appeared on Hard Knocks. He has done nothing. I don't understand their fierce loyalty to a man who has done nothing for them. But we live in the age of the scam artists. We live in the age of the huckster where you can fool people and they will accept it and love it that you're fooling them. Nico Collins had 191 yards receiving on 12 catches, and he also caught a touchdown. Jamie Ward made a game-saving interception, and the 7-5, I can't even believe the 7-5 Texans with C.J. Stroud at the helm beat the Russell Wilson 6-6 Broncos 22-17. This was an entertaining game. I was hoping that the defense would pull Stroud. I mean, he's helped them to get victory so many times, and it was time for that defense to help him out, and Jamie Ward did. Sam LaPorta had a career day. He had 8 catches for 140 yards and 1 touchdown. He's a rookie tight end for the 9-3 Lions. And they beat the 5-7 Saints, who Derek Carr, got injured again. And they beat them by the score 33-28. I really felt bad for Alvin Kamara. This dude was trying his best to carry that team on his back, but he couldn't do it. And you know what? The 9-3 Lions, that's an amazing thing to say. 9-3 Lions, something that has never happened in my entire life, saying the name Lions and 9-3. Garner Minshew threw for a touchdown in overtime, and the 7-5 Colts won their 4th straight. They, like I said earlier, they lost Jonathan Taylor for a couple of weeks, but they pulled this one. They pulled this one down. The 4-8 Titans lost this game 31-28 in overtime to them. Derrick Henry looked good in the first half, and then he seemed to disappear. I don't know if Mike Vrabel is going to be a long-term coach with them. I did like the way Will Levis looked. He's a tough guy. He's a big dude. He seemed to really care. He got involved with some stuff that he shouldn't have got involved in. Like there was a kerfuffle, and the first person to run to the kerfuffle was him. There was a fumble. The first person to dive on the ball was him. He ran for a first down and dived in the air and got like helicoptered, and he just went on about his business. I mean, he did argue with DeAndre Hopkins, and as a rookie, I don't know if that's the wisest thing that you do on national TV to treat a veteran like he's the rookie and you're the veteran. But you know what? That's what locker rooms are for, to straighten stuff like that out. Mike Vrabel, being who he is, a world champion several times over with the Patriots, I'm sure that he sat Levis down and explained to him what you do and what you do not do in this league. Okay. A pair of field goals. That's all this game was. A pair of field goals from the 5-7 Chargers beat the 2-10 Patriots. What can you say about the Patriots that has not been already said? They're a very bad team. Let's move on. Tyreek Hill had 2 touchdowns, 5 catches, 157 yards, and the 4 the Dolphins, the 9-3 Dolphins beat the 4-9 Commanders 45-15. The Dolphins are 9-3 for the first time since 2001. And not only that, they got Devon Achane to return. He had two rushing touchdowns, and he had missed five of the last six games with a knee injury. So the Dolphins are really hurting on defense. They lost a couple more players on defense, but they have their offensive weapons. And you know what? Right now, sitting at 9-3, they're tied with the Ravens. They have the best record in the AFC. They're looking good, but they have a tough schedule going forward. Mike Evans caught a 75-yard touchdown. He also had seven catches for 162 yards and one touchdown, and he went over 1,000 yards for the 10th straight season. The 5-7 Bucks beat the 1-11 Panthers 21-18. Mike Evans is a good football player. I really enjoy him and Keenan Allen, who I think don't get the most credit in the league, but these are two beasts who come to work every Sunday and do the best they can. Matthew Stafford threw for three touchdowns, and the 6-6 Rams won their third straight over the 7-5 Browns, who played Joe Flacco, who didn't look horrible. I'm not going to say Joe Flacco looked horrible, especially a guy just coming off his couch. But the Rams won this game 36-19. It was competitive for a while, and then it just became all Rams. And like I said, I'm shocked that Flacco looked so good, but the Browns defense cannot be giving up 36 points and three touchdowns to Matthew Stafford if they really want to make the playoffs. The 9-3 San Francisco 49ers, behind Brock Purdy throwing four touchdown passes and no interceptions, dumped the 10-2 Eagles 42-19. Jalen Hurts was hurt actually in this game. They had to check him out for a concussion. Deebo Samuels went off and he scored three touchdowns. Good for him because he had spoke a lot of stuff. He thought that he was still the better team from the playoffs last year. It was like his first chance to prove it. And now San Francisco 49ers have not only thumped Philadelphia Eagles, but they have also thumped my Dallas Cowboys and scored 42 points against both teams. Jordan Love surprised me again. He threw three touchdowns. He had zero interceptions, and his 6-6 Packers beat the 8-4 Chiefs 27-19. This was the Sunday night football game in front of the nation, and this was their third straight win. The Chiefs offense is not looking good. They're not looking cohesive. They are looking like they are definitely hurting, that Bieniemy has been gone. I don't care what the media says. I don't care what those talking heads say. My eyes are not lying to me. The Chiefs are not looking like the world champion Chiefs at all. Now, Thursday night, you got New England going into Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh gets healthy against New England, who cannot score at all. Pittsburgh might only need one touchdown and three field goals to win this game. Tampa Bay is going into Atlanta. Atlanta cannot look as depleted once again as they did versus the Jets. So I'm going to say Atlanta in this one. The Lions are going into Chicago. I'm going to take the Lions. The Colts are going into Cincinnati. I like the Colts to win this game. Jacksonville is going into Cleveland. Jacksonville is a well-rounded team, so I'm going to take Jacksonville on the road to win this game. Carolina is going into New Orleans. New Orleans has too many weapons to lose to Carolina, so New Orleans wins at home. The Texans are going into New York to play the Jets. The Texans have an offense. The Jets have no offense, so I'm going to take C.J. Stroud and the Texans and Nico Collins to beat the Jets. The Rams are going into Baltimore. Baltimore will be coming off a bye. The Ravens should be fired up because it's going to be a battle for who's going to get home field advantage, so I'm taking the Ravens. The Vikings are going into Las Vegas to play the Raiders. I'm going to take the Vikings, who are coming off a bye week. Seattle is going into San Francisco. If San Francisco is over the high of doing what they did this week and they maintain their focus and energy, they should beat Seattle, who's also coming off a bye week. The Bills are going into KC. I keep saying KC's going to turn the corner. KC's at home, but the Bills are coming off a bye. They should be refreshed, and they're fighting for their life. So I'm going to take the Bills and upset to beat Kansas City. Denver's going into the Chargers. The Chargers stink. Don't let people build you up on this heist of Justin Herbert. I'm going to take Russell Wilson and the Denver Broncos to win this game. And the Eagles are going into Dallas to play my Cowboys on the Sunday night game of the week. I'm going to take my Cowboys to pull off the upset and beat the Eagles and maintain that 14, now going on 15-game home winning streak. We have a double Monday night, people. But unfortunately, both games are at the very same time. You got the Titans taking on the Dolphins. I'm going to take the Dolphins in that game. You got Green Bay taking on the Giants. I'm going to say that the Giants actually pull an upset and beat Green Bay at home to win that game. There should be no buys next week. Everybody's balling. We're in week 14. I think the buys might be over after this week. Let's remember, people, it's either love or hate. Don't play the game that one day you love it, the next day you hate it. It's all right. It's all right is a cop-out. That is a fucking cop-out. When you say, oh, it's all right. No, you could say, I am totally against that. I'm totally for that. Be a man or be a woman. It's fine to side on one way or the other. What, you scared to be wrong? You scared to be right? What's your story? Really, what's your story? Do you have any integrity? Sometimes you got to look at a situation and say, that shit ain't right. Or, man, I'm 100% behind what's going on here. And it's all right to do that. It's all right to be that person. Too many people live in fear of not being accepted, so they play defense on everything. They want everybody to love them. They want a pat on the back from everybody. And I think that's garbage. It does not make sense. You cannot go through this life with just fear of your own opinion. It's, you know what? No, and it's not all right to be fearful of anything. Be fearful of God. But to be fearful of your own opinion on a subject matter, ambivalent about everything, makes no sense. I appreciate you listening. Feel free to like, share, and comment. Subscribe if you like. My main thing is I like hearing from you. I like your comments when you send me an email or you post something on one of the places that you hear this show. And I'm going to tell you like I tell you each and every time, people, peace to you and peace to yours.